But I want you to help me, first of all, identify some songs. And here I want to get your brain working a little bit, okay? So I'm going to give you a clue, and then from that clue, you will name the Christmas song. And we'll see who's first, and we'll make this a little contest here, okay? We'll see who's the sharpest this morning. So, for example, if I would say Righteous Darkness, what would you say? Pardon? Oh, Holy Night, yes. Thank you. I knew that Garrett was going to get the first, because he's on his way to being a professor. He's a mathematician, and his mind is sharp. Far Off in a Theater. Wow, this side over here is pretty good. What's going on over here? Maybe somebody over here will get this one. Bantam Male Percussionist. Nocturnal Noiselessness. Yeah! Jehovah Deactivate Blithe Chevaliers. Jehovah Deactivate Blithe Chevaliers. Give that man a cigar! That was the second to the hardest. Here's an easy one. Delight for This Planet. Very good. Here's the tough one. We'll see if anybody can dig this one out. Perceived Carillon. Is that how you pronounce the word? Carillon? Perceived Carillon Noel 24 Hours. Wow, Kathy Shepherd. You don't want a cigar, probably. What would you like? I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You remember that song? But in despair I bowed my head. Listen to this verse. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That song, and the contrast in the mood of those verses, serves as a compelling reminder that this is not always the most wonderful time of the year, right? There's a song in the air we sang a few weeks ago. There's a song in the air. It's a song of wonder and joy and awe. But every Christmas season, you along with me hear two songs in the air. We hear the song of wonder and joy. Oh, Gail and I were watching TV last night. We were watching the evening news, and they had a story of a miracle that took place in Ada, Minnesota. Did you see the story where the grandmother, I forget exactly what happened to her, but she wound up in a coma for several weeks, was in a coma, and the doctors said that there's no activity, there's no life at all. We recommend you to a family to remove life support. And they made the decision to remove the life support from their mother and to take her home and to see if she would live or how long she would live, and they would put her in hospice care. So they took her home, and she didn't have food or water for 12 days, and suddenly she just woke up. And I think we have a picture of her. Yeah. This is after this happened. After 12 days, no food, no water, she woke up. She's healthy as a horse now. And they say it's a Christmas miracle. And you hear stories like that. You hear these songs of wonder at Christmas time. This past Friday, Garrett and Kyle and Jim and I were practicing for our shindig at the Village Inn Friday night, and Dawn walked in to say that she had just got word that their father had been found unresponsive. And what had happened is he went to pick up a pizza at an Italian restaurant somewhere. What community is that in? Brook Park? Westlake. He went to pick up a pizza, was walking back to his car, and collapsed. And it just so happened that a person delivering Italian food to this restaurant was just either arriving or leaving, I don't know which, and saw their father laying there, and the person happened to be a nurse and did CPR, and they called the squad, and they were able to revive him. And though he's still in the hospital, he's doing well, considering the fact that he had a heart attack there. But just think about that. What a miracle that just at that right time, a delivery person happens to come by who's also a nurse and does CPR. And so we hear these wonderful, amazing stories of Christmas miracles, and we're always looking for them. And we all love to sing the songs of Christmas of joy and wonder. But at the same time, the other song that we hear is a song of sorrow and woe at Christmas. And the scripture that we just read a while ago reflects the very same thing. For on the one hand, Mary heard from the angel, "You're going to have a son, and he's going to be the son of the Most High God, and he will save his people Israel." And it's a wonderful story. And then a couple days later, 8 to be exact, you know, Simeon tells her that a sword is going to pierce her own soul. And so not even Mary, the mother of God, escaped the fact that there are songs of amazement and joy and wonder, but there's also songs of sorrow. And because there are songs of sorrow, I wanted to talk about hope. But before we get to the hope, I just want to confess with you that sometimes the songs of sorrow almost drown out the songs of wonder and awe. You know, you don't have to look very far to see the songs of sorrow. I was working on this message in my easy chair last Tuesday morning, and I had my phone next to me, and my phone chirped to tell me I just received a message or email or something like that. And I'm like you, I couldn't resist the temptation to pick it up and see what it was. It was a little bit of an interruption, but it was an article that was just been printed in the New York Daily News or somewhere. And it was about, it was one of those articles that recaps the last year and all the bad things that happened in 2017. And then there was an article right beside it about 2018, and it was entitled, "Here's 5 places where we're likely to start World War III in the year 2018. By the New York Times, and it was a very serious article about the real present reality that we have to face all the time, that there could be war breakout somewhere in the world, and there's 5 places that are hot spots next year, according to the Times. So you don't have to look very hard or listen very hard to hear the songs of sorrow and woe. The song's melody is kind of born from fear and hatred and poverty and disease and sickness and death. The lyrics to this song are written in blood and tears as a result of the consequences of human sinfulness. And you don't have to listen very hard to hear those songs welling up from people who are facing loss at this time of the year. The loss of a home or friends or a job or family members or whatever. You can hear this song welling up deep within the souls of those who are facing their first Christmas without someone. It's tough on those folks this time of the year. First Christmas without someone. You can hear this song being sung by those who lost someone in Christmas past. It was 20 years ago last night that my father suddenly died of a heart attack. Came right out of the blue 20 years ago last night. And although 20 years have gone by, it's always there. This is why we've even heard people pray, "Lord, if they're sick and they're going to die, I can accept that, but just help them get through Christmas." People pray that because we don't want to have to deal with those kind of feelings at Christmas time. And so I want to recognize with you that there's, at Christmas time, it has a way of being a time of joy, but there's also a certain sadness among people at Christmas time. Christmas has a way, if there's sadness there, Christmas has a way of magnifying that sadness. Oftentimes we are successful at putting away those feelings all through the years, but when the Christmas comes, it's sometimes difficult to keep those feelings from coming out. And so I just want to recognize with you that we need hope, and that there is another song to be sung. And it's a song of wonder. It's a song of joy. It's a song of peace and grace and love. To be sure, this song does not have the kind of lyric that will completely dispel the songs of sadness and woe, because the truth of the matter is that Christ did not come to exempt us from hardship and pain. He didn't even exempt his own mother from that. But if we will tune our hearts to sing its grace, this song will measure some joy into our tears, I promise you this morning. Because it's a song of wonder and a song of love, a song of hope and a song of peace. The first stanza of this amazing, wonderful song was written and sung by the prophets of old. Behold, the virgin will conceive a child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. A son shall be given to us, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The prophet Micah said, "You, O Bethlehem, are just a small village in the country of Judah, the land of Judah, but from you will come a ruler over Israel whose origins are from the distant past." Micah 5, verse 2. The first song or verse of this song is sung by the prophets. The second verse was sung by the angels. "Don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, shepherds, for I bring you good news of a great joy which will be for all people. Angels we have heard on high, singing sweetly o'er the plains." First song by the prophets, second by the angels. Third verse of this song is sung by the people of God. You and I, when we by faith grasp a hold of the idea that Paul said that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those of us who are under the curse of the law, such that when we embrace him by faith and are justified by faith, we have peace with God, such that when we have to sing the song of sorrow and woe because of consequences and the adversities of life, we will be able to say with Mary, "Be it done unto me as you would have it be so, Lord." How could she say that? Because she knew that his name was going to be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This song is sung by people like you and I who embrace Christ by faith. And we know that we can endure circumstances of life because in the end, we know that Christ is with us, and that makes all the difference. Regardless of what happens in this life, Christ is with us. And it makes the difference, and it gives us hope and the ability to rise above the circumstances and the adversities that come into our lives from time to time. In fact, I'll even go you one better. To sing this third song, once we learn to sing this third song well, we will even come to the point not only can we survive the difficult circumstances because Christ is with us, but we can even see where there's a redemptive aspect to suffering and pain. Do you know what I'm talking about? Remember when Paul said, "For God so loved the world." What did he say there? "And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us." And he also said something about what's that verse I'm looking at? Romans 8, 28. Does anybody know Romans 8, 28? It skipped my mind for some reason. Can you turn down that heater there? It's getting hot in here. Romans 8, 28, "And God works all things together for the good to those who are called according to his purpose." And somehow God is able to take bad circumstances, and if we will allow him, he'll make good things come out of bad circumstances. Doesn't happen all the time right away, but it will happen if we will look and if we will cooperate with God. God can cause all things to work together for the good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That's the verse I was looking for. I was reading a story the other day about a lady who in 1987 was preparing to give birth to her first son in late January or early February. And on Christmas Day, wouldn't you know, she went to the hospital and gave birth to her stillborn son named William. Her pain was magnified because across the hall, a lady had also just given birth to quadruplets. And the news was all over, there were people all over the hallways, and the news people there were with the TV cameras to this woman who had given birth to quadruplets on Christmas Day. And the lady across the hall had just given birth to a stillborn. And she lay there in her bed in that hospital and thought, "Christmas will never be the same again for me." her husband, bless his heart, did his very best every Christmas to make it as joyful an occasion as he possibly could. But he unexpectedly died the day after Thanksgiving, 7 years after that baby was born, stillborn, and this woman now is all alone in the world. And the day after Thanksgiving, when her husband dies, she's thinking, I don't even want Christmas to come. Sometime during the month of December, she was laying in bed and could not sleep. It was midnight, and she turned on the television, and their movie came on the television called It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, starring Mickey Rooney. Have you ever seen that movie? It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and Mickey Rooney here, the older fella, he passes away, and he goes to heaven, and he meets an angel, and he implores the angel to send him back to earth so that he can accomplish a mission that he wanted to accomplish. He came from New York City, and he had been noticing that as time went on, that fewer and fewer people in New York City were just being kind at Christmas time. So the angel says, okay, you can go back and spread that message around. And he goes back and he gets on television and he implores all of New York City, come on, people, it's time to do something for your neighbor. You know, do something, it's Christmas time. And this lady sitting there watching this television movie, and she's thinking, how ironic, this is the midnight of my life. It came upon a midnight clear, and that's when it hit her. She could either continue to become bitter, or she said, I could become better. And she decided she was going to become better. And so the next day, she went Christmas shopping for the neighbor across the street whose wife had just passed away. And on Christmas Eve, she took a whole load of gifts over and put them on his porch with an invitation to come to her house for breakfast on Christmas morning, which he did. And it started a whole new life for this lady. Might not have happened right away, but she was willing to cooperate with God and made a decision, and good came from the bad. And she said, that's when my life began to become better. And she said, by reaching out and helping someone else, I was healing myself. And so she says, now to all my friends who are sad and discouraged at Christmas, I tell them, go out there and do something for somebody else, like Mickey Rooney told the city of New York City. I'm going to be interested to see if I can find that movie on Netflix or somewhere and watch that. It sounds like a pretty good movie. Thanks, Gail, for putting that up there. So we're talking about a song of joy and wonder. It may not have all the power to dispel the songs of sadness and woe in our lives, but if we, like I said, will tune our hearts to sing its grace, there will be joy in the midst of our tears. I'm trying to give us all a little hope this morning. I saw a video of the hope the other day. I hope it works in our system here. One of the TVs worked earlier this morning. We never know what's going to happen with this system, so I got a backup plan. This is a video that is narrated by Morgan Freeman. You know Morgan Freeman and that voice of his. And he's talking about how his mother was trying to teach him something important about life. And she's referring to the pauses of life. And we can think of the pauses as those times of adversity that come into our lives. The pauses are the times of adversity that inevitably come to our lives. So kind of with that in mind, let's hope and pray that this video comes through this morning.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, how is that good news? And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
Isn't that good? That's good. We all have pauses in our life. But when the pauses come, and they do and they will, we might grieve as those, you know, but we know Paul says we won't grieve as those who have no hope. For we have a hope. And I just want to talk about the fourth verse very briefly. The first song or verse was sung by the prophets. The second verse was sung by the angels. The third verse is sung by the people of God who are living on this earth. But there's a fourth verse. It's a more glorious and wonderful verse than all the other verses. To be sure, this verse has never been heard upon this earth, but it's a most wonderful, most joyous song that could ever be sung. I'm talking about those who have gone on to be with the Lord and who are singing great and a wonderful song. And they sing the fourth verse. We have yet to hear those words of that, but we will hear it sung someday. It's going to be an amazing song. And all those people who by faith embraced Christ by faith, and they've received faith's rewards and they're in heaven now. And you know what they're singing? They're singing the song that the book of Revelation talks about. To him who sits on the throne and to his Lamb be all glory, honor, dominion, and power forever and ever and ever. That's the fourth and the last verse of the song of wonder that has been gifted to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I hear a song. There's a song in the air, you know. The peal, the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the earth revolve from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that in the midst of sometimes troubling times that come upon us at Christmas. And I'm sure that there are some who are sitting here this day who have mixed emotions because we know and we have experienced Christmas joy, and yet at the same time, Christmas has a way of magnifying our pain. And my heart goes out tenderly to all those who are sitting here today facing the first Christmas without someone. Someone who's gone on to be with you and is now singing that fourth verse, and yet we still miss them dearly. But I know that you're the God who binds up the brokenhearted. And as we consider the Advent theme of hope today, may you, Lord Jesus, fill our hearts with hope. May we embrace you and what you've done for us in Christ, so that we might be born anew, and so that hope would be born anew in us as a result. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.